like to speak this morning on the subject of prayer. I'd like to speak about and encourage us that God hears prayer. I know a very simple thought, but I want to encourage us this morning to prayer. In Psalm 65, verse 2, David states a truth about God here. He said, O thou that hearest prayer. One place in another, I believe it's in the Proverbs, he said, hast thou not, you who have created the ear, do you hear? Do you not hear? God created ears. He hears. God is a hearing God. We know he sees, he looks down, but he also hears. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalms 34 also brings this out. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. So he's both looking down in our hearts. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. I believe in the beginning of the Psalms, there's a scripture of how the Lord looks down upon people. Psalm 11, verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Another one, verse 2 of chapter 14. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Also, 2 Chronicles 16. These are all the different scriptures about how the Lord looks down from heaven. And he's doing that today. And this psalm, or this in 2 Chronicles 16, it gives a reason why the Lord looks down. Psalms 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So the Lord's looking down to try our hearts, to see if we're seeking him. He is considering all of our works. He is looking at to see if we are fearing him and reverencing him. But with all of that, his intention is that he wants to show himself strong in our behalf. If our heart is toward him, if our heart is open, this word friendly, or this word perfect in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, it means open, it means completely open, or friendly. It means a heart that is open to God. He is looking throughout the whole earth to see whatever hearts are open toward him. And whenever he sees that, then his ears are open to our cry. So when he sees that you have a heart that reverences him, you have a healthy awe about you toward God, you know that he's powerful, you know that he's the creator, you know that he's also the judge, you know that he is looking down to look at our works and our hearts. And if you have that fear toward him and that awe toward him, his ears are open to you, and he is listening for your prayers. O thou that hearest prayer, he said there in our beginning scripture. What did he say? unto thee shall all flesh come. Does it matter where you are? Does he hear anyone anywhere on the earth? Even if you aren't born a Jew, which was at that time God's special people, there are scriptures. Well, let me get this one here in Isaiah. I really appreciate it when I read this one. The Gentiles at this time had not come to salvation or had the opportunity, but there's chapters in Isaiah that prophesy of a time when the Gentiles, that's you and me, when we also would have a chance to know the God of heaven. And in this one, in Isaiah 56, he said, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has separated me, hath utterly separated me from his people. And then he talks also about another class of people that may feel inferior and say, I'm a dry tree. He said, don't let yourself say that. Don't say, well, the Lord has separated me, I don't belong to his people. He's looking here at the heart and saying, if you're a person who, he was talking here about the Sabbaths, which spiritually would mean a person who separated himself unto God for holy purposes and said, Lord, I just want to live for you only. I want to be yours completely. Spiritually, that's what Sabbath means to us, is that we're completely yielded unto God. He said, thus saith the Lord, verse 4 of Isaiah 56, thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. Also the strangers, verse 6, also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring, praise the Lord, that's you and me, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So it doesn't matter where a person is. If he meets the conditions, God is a God who hears prayer. All flesh can come to him in prayer. Anywhere in the world, someone can plead to him for mercy and for help, and he will listen, and he will answer prayers. I gave you the story just a little bit ago about the woman who was so troubled and kept cutting herself to get rid of her emotional pain. She heard this voice that said, by his stripes, and was able to find out what that meant and believe in it, and it saved her life, and she never had to do that again to herself. I'm thankful that God hears and answers prayer. I just want to encourage us this morning. You children, grow up understanding and knowing that God answers prayer. Any trouble that you get in at any time, if there's something in your life that you feel like you can't overcome, that you can't quit doing or saying or thinking, you believe God will answer your prayer. And you come to him and say, God, help me with this. Lord, help me through this. Help me with this subject. Maybe it's a subject in school that you can't understand. God can help you. He can help you not to lie. He can help you to not think angry thoughts toward others. Children, anyone can come to God. He is a God who hears prayer from anywhere in the world. Now, there are some things that would cause a person to pray and God not hear him. That means it's not that he has an inability, as Isaiah 59, chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. It's not God. But there are things in our lives that can come into and separate us. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Well, one might say, well, if a person who's a sinner, if God won't hear their prayer, how can you ever get saved? That's one question that I had all my life. I heard as a little girl, I heard somebody quote from the story of the blind man that Jesus healed, and he was explaining to the Pharisees what had happened, and he said, we know that God heareth not sinners. And somebody quoted that and said, God heareth not sinners. And in my little mind, I thought, well, how in the world is anybody supposed to get saved if God doesn't hear a sinner pray? But does God hear a sinner pray? And what kind of prayer? God hears a prayer of someone who, well, let's look at this. Isn't it 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles? Which one? The one where Solomon, the promise there, 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. So God does hear a sinner's prayer of repentance. Repentance doesn't only say to God, oh, I'm sorry, but repentance makes a U-turn, doesn't it? You know what a U-turn is? That means you're going this way on the road, and you turn around, and you go the other way. That's what repentance is. It means to turn away from sin and go the other way. God hears that prayer. Back to Psalm 60. Six now. This gives some of the same thought. Psalm 66 and 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, does that mean to say that if you find sin or iniquity in your heart, that there's no way that you can pray because God won't hear you? Is that what it's saying? No, because we've just read that if we turn from our wicked ways, that God will hear from heaven. So what does this word really mean here? If I regard iniquity in my heart. I looked it up, and it means to look at with direct volition. Volition is meaning a choice. I make a choice. A direct volition would mean a determined choice on my part to look at iniquity or wickedness, to have it purposefully in view, to look pleasurably and to look favorably. That's what this word regard means. So don't let the enemy torment you with the thought, well, I just saw iniquity, or I just saw sin, or I just saw something that was not right. Well, the Lord won't hear my prayer. That's not what this means. If I regard iniquity, look at it intentionally and purposely, with pleasure or with favor. If I do that in my heart, then that keeps God from hearing my prayer. The Lord will not hear me. Another thing that would hinder us from having a prayer answered, look at Mark chapter 11. He's speaking to his disciples about prayer and about having faith in God and being able to pray a prayer that would move a mountain. And he said in verse 24, what things therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught or anything against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We must remember this truth. I've seen people get down to the gates of death, and the enemy try to bring bitterness and unforgiveness into their minds against someone, and they're just about to die. Why would the enemy do that? Why would the enemy so fight you with unforgiveness at the hour of death? It's because of this truth right here, where if God won't forgive us or pardon us or give us a pass in the judgment and declare us righteous, he can't do that if we won't forgive anyone else. So when we pray, when he says here, when you stand praying, forgive. Unforgiveness not only will keep us from passing at the judgment, but it'll keep us from having our prayers answered now. And it's just something that shuts up the communication there, unforgiveness, bitterness in our heart toward anyone. When that gets in our minds and our hearts, our prayers quit being heard by the Lord. So that would be a point of check, wouldn't it? Where if I constantly just can't pray, I don't have utterance, I don't feel that God is hearing me, maybe I need to check. Am I holding something against my companion? Or maybe against the way things have happened in my life, and I cannot forgive God. I'm angry at God. We need to think about those things. Another verse that brings out that personal relationships actually do have an effect on our prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3. He's speaking here to husbands and wives. And he brings the subject of prayer into it. Here he says, talks to the women first about being in subjection and winning their husbands with a pure, modest behavior and a meek and quiet spirit, trust and confidence in God, fearlessness. He speaks all of that in the first part of 1 Peter 3. Then in verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we see here there's a big correlation between how I live with my spouse at home and the things that I do and the attitudes that I have and the ways that we relate to each other. It has a lot to do with my prayers being answered and there being free flow in prayer and communication between us and the Lord. In verse 10, he goes and says, and he quotes here from Psalms 34, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil or hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." And he quotes here, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Another thing that will hinder us from having prayer answered. And James talks about two things. The first one is in chapter 1. And he's talking here about God's liberal giving, and we mentioned that a Wednesday night or two ago, about how God gives liberally. He loves to give to us. He wants us to ask him for things. And he said here in verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." This week I was thinking of that verse and claiming that scripture and praying about it. And also I remembered Proverbs 2, where he said, The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh understanding. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to be reading my word. If you want wisdom and you're praying for wisdom, out of my mouth, that means from my words, come understanding. And it was an understanding to me that I should not just know about the scriptures and know a few Bible stories, but we should understand the word, understand God's mind and heart. What does he mean by his words? And when we begin to gain knowledge of his word, then that gives us wisdom in our lives. But if we're ignorant of God's word, of his plans, of his character as revealed in his word, of his will toward mankind, of the history of how he dealt with people and how people reacted to him and what happened to them, if we don't know any of that, if we don't ever read his word and comprehend his ways, his judgments, his laws, his testimonies, his faithfulness, his power, his ability, his holiness, if we don't comprehend those things and we're asking for wisdom, that's the source where it comes from, is out of his mouth. Anyway, that's something the Lord reminded me of this week. Let's go back here to James again. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I'm asking the Lord to help me to know how to pray the prayer of faith. What does it mean to pray the prayer of faith? So see, these are some of the things that the Lord has been bringing to my mind. 1 John chapter 5. Now I want to go to the promises, the positive things. We've shared the different things that would cause the Lord not to hear our prayers. And before I do that, just two people come to my mind. I think about Saul, how he disobeyed the Lord over and over. And it got to where when he would come to God in prayer, it said different times, God would not hear him. And I thought, it was such a fearful thing, because it resulted in him going to seek after a witch to answer his questions. So that's a great warning to us. Why would a person persist so long until that's how things ended up with them? That's a great warning. And the Israelites got to where they had persisted so long in their disobedience that at one point, I believe it was Jeremiah, that God said, pray not for this people, for I will not hear. And so at that point, he let them go into captivity, and many of them perished with no remedy for those that perished. Some of them got to come back. But that would be an awful thing for me to be someone, and I've so turned God down so many times, so presumptuously, that those praying for me, God would eventually say to them, don't pray for her. That would be a fearful thing, and I don't want to get to that place. So now I want to go to more positive thoughts here. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That word know is very much a key word in the epistles of John, over and over in John's writings, that we may know. He wants us to have that kind of confidence. And he said in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Verse 22 in chapter 3 says something similar. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, that bothers a lot of people, those two verses. Because they're thinking, they're not really confident in their own experience as of yet to say, well, but I don't always keep his commandments, and I don't always do those things that are pleasing in his sight. At least I don't know if I always do. Therefore, they waver. I think the word waver, it has to do with going back and forth about whether things are right or wrong. That's what it means in the scripture. He that wavereth, he that goes back and forth, is this right or is this wrong? It hinders faith. It hinders you from being able to confidently ask God for the things that you need. But this said, if I'm asking according to his will, this is the confidence I can have in him that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, once I've got past that one, we can know and have confidence that we can have the things that we desired. We're asking according to his will. Now let's think about some of these things. Is it his will that you be saved? Is it his will that you be saved? Yes. If we know it's his will that I be saved, if I come to the Lord, we need not doubt. Will he save me? Will he hear my prayer of forgiveness? I've forgiven everyone that I know. My heart is open toward him. If you can know this morning that it's his will, and we know that it is, that you be saved, you can ask with confidence. Now let's keep going here. Is it his will that I be filled with his Spirit? Yes. You can ask with confidence and know I'm asking according to the will of God. My heart is open to him. It is perfect toward him, completely open. I can ask with confidence, Lord, I want your Spirit in my life. Fill me with your Spirit. You can know that when he hears you, and if you know that he hears you, you know that you have the petition that you desired. There are other things maybe that we don't know for sure are God's will. There's timing involved in God's mind. But you can know that he hears you anyway. And I'm thinking of an example. Daniel prayed. He began to fast and pray, and he prayed one day and ate no food. In 2 days, no food and praying. 3 days, no answer, still fasting and praying. 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, Daniel went 21 days, 3 full weeks, till he was so weak he could not stand. What was he doing? He was fasting and praying for his people, for Israel. And it looked like God wasn't hearing, didn't it? I mean, wouldn't it to you? You go in 3 weeks, nothing's happening. I get no witness from the Lord. How many of us would have just said, there's nothing there. I'm getting nothing. 3 weeks, Daniel prayed. And finally, the Lord came to him after 3 weeks. And he said, I've been at war with this prince over here. And there were things that God was working out. It took that long for God to come and answer Daniel's prayer. There was reason. There was definite purpose and plan in what God was doing. And so when we come to the Lord, we know he hears us because of these promises, but there may be delay. It's for a reason. God's working out a purpose. There's something going on the other end. Maybe you're praying for a soul. In this case, he was praying for many souls. He was praying about the government, the kings of the earth, the things that were happening in and around his people, concerning his people. God was having to work on these different lives and these different people, kings and people in authority and governments. It took God some time. So we can know God hears my prayers. I know that He hears my prayers. Keep on. Don't give up. Don't feel like God didn't hear my prayers. God has plans and He has purposes. I want to go back to some things that Jesus said. Chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. In chapter 6, He had told them, don't pray to be seen. Don't have to pray a lot of words over and over and over. And why? Because He said, your Heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In fact, there are times that with our hearts just constantly looking to the Lord and coming to Him and trusting in Him. In chapter 65 of Isaiah, He said this in verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. And that lets you to know it has, that helps us to know that it has to do with the condition of our hearts, which God is looking at all times. And there's some times that God is moving and working, and it's His will and it's His plan to move and act for you right now. And you'll marvel because you'll say, oh, I was just beginning to pray. And here it is. Here's God is a God who hears and answers prayer. And sometimes it can be even, He knows what we have need of before we ask, but He still wants us to ask. So He can answer. He can answer at any time, before we ask, while we're yet speaking, or at times whenever we almost feel like that it's no use. He said that He'll bear long. Sometimes He'll bear long with His very elect, His chosen people. He'll bear long with them. Will they have faith? Will they hold on? There are many, I know there. It's a little complicated sometimes to think about this matter of answering, God answering prayer. But I believe it has to do with our hearts. He wants a heart that chooses Him, that loves to come to Him, that wants to do His will, that is reverent toward Him, completely open and surrendered to Him. And I believe that those are secrets of the Lord answering prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And these are some of the ways in which God has shown us by His word that we can be more effectual. He said, whenever He told him in chapter 6 of Matthew, that don't pray in front of the people. He said, but thou, when thou prayest, verse 6, enter into thy closet and shut, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. As was mentioned before prayer, there is a place of entering into communion with God that we all really need. It's not in public. It's in secret. I remember one time that the Lord spoke to me and said, I wait for you in the secret place. And I realized that there was a place that I must not neglect, and that was the place of private prayer, praying to the Lord. He sees and He answers. He sees in secret. He hears you. If we never take time for Him, as was mentioned earlier, if we don't ever come to Him, if we never come into the sanctuary, that's where David said, or who, the prophet, whatever, wrote that. That's when he said he understood. when he went into the secret place. That's where a lot of understanding comes. It comes from God's mouth. It comes from meeting him in the secret place. In chapter 7, where we started reading, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find." I think it was Brother Austis Wilson, but it was an older minister that I remember hearing or reading that said this is kind of a progression of how sometimes that we must pray. Ask. We begin by asking. We don't get an answer sometimes. We don't feel like that there's anything being done, or we feel like there's some kind of a block. So then we go into the seeking mode. Why am I not being answered? What's going on in my life? And these are the things that we review then. The things that I've mentioned. Do I have unforgiveness? Are my prayers being hindered because I'm not relating to my spouse as I should? Am I regarding iniquity in my heart? Am I praying wavering? All of these things that we've mentioned. If I have these things and I'm seeking, and so I check all these places, and if I find something, I deal with it, get rid of it, and then I'm still praying for the issue. Nothing's changing. Then he said, then it's knock time. It's when you begin to press and to make some noise and to do a little bit more than just ask, but to really press the issue. Lord, I've not found any reason. I've been seeking. I've not found a reason why you shouldn't answer. But I feel like, Lord, this is needed. It's necessary. We need your help here. So these are wonderful truths. He said, it shall be opened unto you. I read a story about a man named Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China. He formed the China Inland Mission. But he was on his way to China on a ship. And the ship went, it was a sailing ship that had sails, so they were dependent on the wind. And they went to several weeks of calm where there was no wind. They were at the mercy of the sea. And he said the ship began to drift toward shore. And they were somewhere down near New Guinea. And they could see the natives on the shore, and they knew that this was a place where cannibals were. You know what those kind of people were? And the ship began to drift toward those rocks. And Hudson Taylor said his friends at school, when he began to tell them he was going to be missionary to the heathens, they called him a cold missionary. And I don't know what, but he said, I could see from the fires on the shore I was getting ready to be a very hot missionary. He's getting ready to be cooked on the coals. And so he said, may all Christians on this ship get together, and we need to pray. And so he called, the captain of the ship was a Christian, and one of the stewards was an African man who was a sweet, praying Christian man, and Hudson. And he said, let's each go to our rooms and pray. We need to pray for the Lord to send a breeze. And so he went and he prayed, and he felt like he obtained favor of the Lord. He went back out and he told one of the deck hands, he said, I want you to unfurl the mainsail. And the man cursed and jeered at him and said, why? He said, because we're getting ready to get a wind. And he looked up, and something way up there was starting to shimmer. And he said, see it? There's our wind. So he unfurled it, and the Lord blew them back out to sea. There are stories. If we will, instead of looking so much at our troubles and the negative things, there are so many things that we can avail ourselves of to encourage our faith. That God hears and answers prayer. All over the world, like we said, all flesh comes to him who answers prayer. In every age, you can read stories from every age of time. God is answering prayer today. God answered prayer for your parents. He answered prayer for your grandparents. He answered prayer back in the 1800s and in the 1600s. And all you can read story after story of how God answered prayer. Why not for us? Is faith gone for us? Must we consign ourselves to, well, I guess God doesn't answer prayer anymore? No, I believe we need to take courage and say, if I know that I'm praying according to His will, I know that He is going to answer me. He hears prayer. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Be encouraged this morning.